9:30 on a Monday morning, and an opportunity for me to usually say time to spend time with the Bartlesville City Manager Ed Gordon and members of the staff of the City of Bartlesville. Mr. Gordon is absent from this morning's meeting, but I do have staff members. Actually, I have engineers. Water Utility Director Terry Lauritsen and City Engineer Mike Seemers. Gentlemen, both of you, good morning. Thanks for coming in.
Well, good morning, Charlie. It's going to be an exciting day when you get two engineers in the room. That's Boy, it doesn't get much better than that, does it?
I could have actuaries, I guess. You have personalities. Thank you very much for coming in here.
Well, good morning. Good morning, Charlie.
Yes.
Before we get into all the nitty-gritty stuff with the projects that I'm sure everybody's really tuning in to listen to,
yes.
We want to cover some announcements that we have out in the city. The first one regards the library. We have a book discussion series that's going to start here in August.
Mm-hmm.
The library is partnering with the Oklahoma Humanities Council, and in August they are starting a Let's Talk About It Oklahoma.
And I saw some of the topics upcoming on this one. It looks like it could be interesting.
It is. They're going to talk about 8 books that encompass classic 19th century and contemporary literature from the or fiction genre.
Mm-hmm.
And so that starts on August 8th is the first discussion that they're going to have. It's going to be on Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, and then the Dark Half are the two books that they're going to be reviewing. But it's going to have a 30 to 40 minute presentation by a scholar or kind of a facilitator for those sessions. And the books, you can register for these discussions at the library. But the program does start on August the 8th. You can stop by the reference desk to check out books or those books. And you can call the library at 338-4168. Or you can visit www.okhumanities.org. Let's Talk About It Oklahoma. And the Let's Talk About It Oklahoma is all hyphenated.
And if you don't have a library card already, get one while you're there.
Get one while you're there. It'll be a wonderful event, but they're going to do that. It's going to start in August and go all the way through November. So it looks like an exciting presentation to talk about some of the different books and the literature there regarding that genre.
Okay.
The second thing is about utility bills. I know that Mike Bailey's not here with us, but I'm sure that utility bills is always near and dear to his heart.
Well, the ones that most people are paying during the month of July kind of have that split billing feature, isn't it?
That they do. So we wanted just to remind people that new billing rates went into effect July 1st, so their bills in July may appear like they're being double billed, but what that in essence
and you could
is.
Be. No,
it
no.
could be, yeah. And we thank you. But since the rates went in July and there was usage in June, that to split it up just from accounting perspective, part of it is billed on the old rate and then the rest of it is billed on the new rate. So if you see your bill and it looks like you're getting double billed, that's in essence what's happening. But in July, that will really be the only month that's impacted with that type of billing cycle. And then starting in August, you'll just have one rate, and which will be the new rate. But if you have any questions, you can call the utility billing at 338-4224. And ask about any questions you have particular to your bill.
Okay, and it's like you said, it's there is a two numbers for several entries there. One of them will be up through June 30th. The other is the July 1st and beyond rate. I would venture a guess most of those, the larger number, would be your June usage, and the other number likely to be the July usage.
It should be. It should be. Yes. Yes. Well, we do have several projects that are going on in town. One of those is on the streets. We are in the process of restriping our streets. Mm-hmm. We do this every couple years, but we are striping all the streets in town that currently have striping. They've been doing that for the last week and a half or so, and they will continue for the next 2 to 3 weeks. But right now they're striping the yellow, which is the center stripe. And that will progress for the next couple days, but then they will move to the white stripe, which will take the rest of the time, which will be a couple weeks to do, and as well as the crosswalks at the various intersections and such as will be renewed and refreshed in that process. But they'll certainly get the crosswalks around the schools before school starts, but their intent is to hit all the crosswalks in town as well with this effort.
The paint dries relatively quickly, but if you're following along the painting vehicle, be careful, otherwise you could cause your own yellow stripe to be going someplace.
You could cause your yellow stripe and a little bit of a streak on the pavement through there. They usually do a very good job of putting cones out with the wet paint, but as kind of a due diligence, if you see operations like that occurring on the street, give them a little bit of extra space. Try not to cross the line if you don't have to. The yellow one's not so bad, but when they get the whites, which typically are on directions of travel, as far as the same direction of travel, just be cautious of that and pay attention to what's going on with it.
Okay, sounds good. It's nice to have that bright white stripe or yellow stripe. It just makes everything else pop up better, you know?
Well, it does, and it becomes amazing how faded they do get during that two-year time period, so it's good that the street department goes through that effort, and it really takes pretty much their whole staff to do that. It's a fairly big effort for them to do, to get the cones out, to get everything put together. It's not just the guy driving the cart striping it. Yep. They have to have people ahead cleaning it, prepping it, getting it all ready to go. So it's a fairly significant effort for them to do that, but very appreciative of their efforts to keep that.
And Mike could probably tell us exactly how many lane miles of street we have. I mean,
You got that.
I don't think I have that in my head.
It's about 500 miles, roughly. 500 lane miles of roads.
Well, so I figure now that you're water utility director, you've forgotten all that engineer stuff.
I wish I could. It's embedded deep. I can't shake it. I can't shake it. Well, we do have some road closures. I think Jim Bonzak said that the nearest point of as far as route of travel is typically under construction.
Yep.
Or has some form of construction going on with it, and so we like to keep that theme every so often.
It's important that Jim Bonzak is correct.
It is important. We don't want to make him wrong at any point. But we do have some lane closures really around the downtown area. The first one is going to be on Keeler between Adams and 6th Street. But we are extending a fire line to the new public safety complex, and so that requires that road to be closed in that block for today, and we anticipate being opening back up either today or tomorrow, Wednesday. But Keeler between 6th Street and Adams is closed today, tomorrow, and possibly Wednesday to facilitate a new fire line being extended to the public safety complex.
It's important that the fire department has a good fire lane.
It is. That's important that they be able to put the fire out if it happens in their own structure. So that's a critical piece of it there. As many people know, that we have the westbound outside lane on Adams Boulevard in that area closed as well. We made a tap for a water line for that complex as well on that system. We're doing the pavement restoration today, so Adams Boulevard westbound, that outside lane, will be open at the end of the day today. So that Adams Boulevard will be fully open after today for all traffic. Another lane closure that's a little bit south of there, but on Cherokee Avenue. So Cherokee between 9th and 12th Street will be closed starting Tuesday, which is tomorrow. And it will be through Thursday. So Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Cherokee between 9th and 12th will be closed. And that's to facilitate a water line extension and really a tie-in for the new water line that many people have seen that travel that area that's ongoing within that section of roadway. And so that will take place starting tomorrow. It will finish on Thursday, and then road will be reopened Friday. But traffic will be detoured to Osage for that area, but if you can avoid that Cherokee, that stretch of road through there, as you're traveling to and from downtown or wherever your destination is, we would encourage that, just to kind of alleviate some of the traffic and just the different things that occur with road closures and the side streets through there. But
road closures surprise us occasionally as we forget that, oh yeah, they said it was going to be closed, but if you can plan ahead, it helps.
Absolutely. Well, that kind of does a little bit of a segue into our construction projects. We do have Micah Seamers here with us today, and we're going to talk a little bit about some of the ongoing projects that we have in the area and that that we're looking for potentially here in the future or looking to move forward with here in the future.
Morning.
Good morning, Micah. So let's start with the one that people see quite a bit, which is the public safety.
It's a good one. It's a big one.
It is a big one.
A very big one for Bartlesville. The public safety complex is going well. You may recall that the project, we selected Crossland Construction for the project. They've done a great job. They have an expedited schedule, and that's partly why we chose them, is that they were shaving off time from the other bids that we had for the project. So they are pretty well sticking with that schedule. We're a little bit behind. We were originally planning on being done kind of middle of November, and we're looking like more towards December time frame, Christmas time frame on that. We ran into some, don't want to call it issues, but in the brick selection process. Can't show it here on the radio, but the plan for that project is to have two different colors of brick. Going to have a light colored brick that matches the existing fire station, and then kind of transition that into a darker red brick, if you will. And so actually staff was kind of the holdup on that, just making sure we selected the proper brick on that.
It's Mike Bailey.
It's Mike Bailey's fault. Okay, yeah. When I said staff, I was going to leave it at staff. But, yeah, it is Mike Bailey. It's Mike Bailey. He's always the problem. But so we did have a little bit of a delay on that. We got that worked out. Now we think we've selected a nice color for that that should look good. So we got that going, and the project really is going well. You've seen that the police station has gone up quickly. Actually, on July 6th, we had the topping out ceremony, they call it, which is traditionally done in construction projects when the last piece of structural steel, or the highest piece of structural steel, has been set in place. And so we had a little celebration with that with city council and staff that's been involved with the project and the contractor and the construction workers and whatnot. And Crossing Construction actually provided lunch.
Yeah, I just want to go back on that because I think it's important that people understand that the councilman and those involved actually got to sign their name. That the name will be there in perpetuity, or at least as long as the building stands.
Crossing Construction, they did have a beam that city council and staff and people associated with the project, we signed it, and then they raised it into place and bolted it into place. And that'll be there. You just have to tear the building apart to get to it and see it, but it is actually on the building, so kind of a neat deal.
Why on that, you know, it's the beam that has the American flag that's
correct.
That's mounted to it. But there's one name that you can see from the state or from the street. It has initials and a date. Is there any significance with that EG16?
Well, EG16, yeah. You know, this thing, it seems to pop up in places. Actually, it popped up on the pavilion project the other day.
Really?
You know, usually etched in concrete. Someone's going around.
Now, EG, you know, that does represent Ed Gordon. So he's and we're not quite sure how that really happens, but it seems to really be a consistent theme with all these construction projects, that those initials and date, whatever the year that takes place, somehow makes its way into each project.
Managed to be on every project.
Amazing.
It is. It is.
Truly amazing.
And I know that for Ed, that's really a somewhat of a soft spot for him, as far as that really irksome, I guess, is a nice way to say that. So, Ed, I know you're listening. We're thinking about you. So just
wish you're here.
Everybody that drives by Johnstone can see those initials and the date, at least until the brick gets up to cover that up.
Which is hopefully sooner than later. So, yeah, things going well. Crossland has done a good job. They've moved quickly, and it's been a good project.
Well, good. Well, let's move to another project that is that's somewhat visible for the citizens. That's over in Johnstone Park by the YMCA. It's the pavilion structure. Tell us about what's going on there.
That's correct. So we've got a project to construct a 60-foot by 100-foot pavilion. It's going to have a hip roof on it. It's going to be underlit at night. It'll have perimeter lighting. Should be a nice structure. That's partly what's taking a while right now. We actually wanted to have this project completed by now, but we've been having some issues with the building manufacturer, getting the building fabricated, getting it powder coated and whatnot. Typically on these structures, you'd think of a red iron building or something like that, but this actually is a powder coated finish on the frame, and that's been a bit of the hold up with the fabricator. But we should have the building on site, I believe the 29th, this Friday. Should okay. See the building actually start arriving, and the contractor has committed to starting to install the building next Monday, August 1st. So you should start seeing the building go up. The concrete slab should be poured. We are going to pour today, but looked like there's going to be rain. Looks like we're going to pour on Wednesday now, so you should see the concrete slab be poured Wednesday. And it's a good project. It's a neat project. It'll be kind of the showpiece of going into Johnstone Park. I think there's a general plan to try to make Johnstone Park, just to improve it. I think they did some exercise equipment in there here a few weeks ago, months ago. And this will be sort of the entry piece going into the park. We've got the sign now that Leadership Bartlesville, the most recent class, was kind enough to donate. And this will be part of that whole project.
Yeah, it's really, really shaping up, and it's becoming a nice focal point and entrance into that park.
Right.
Well, tell us, I know that the pavilion is not really the only planned project for that structure, that area. Tell us what else is planned and in the works out there.
Okay, so the pavilion is actually the first phase. We've actually got three phases planned for this, at least right now. The first phase is the pavilion and a little bit of concrete work around that. The second phase is actually going to be some additional perimeter concrete around the pavilion itself, and then also to install a prefabricated precast concrete restroom facility just to the west of the where the pavilion's going to sit. That actually is out for bids now. I believe we received bids today, if I'm not mistaken, on that precast structure. And once we get the restroom installed, the next phase, which is in the works right now, we're actually trying to work out the funding for it with the state, because this is a grant project. We're using grant funds for this. Community Development Block Grant is what it's called, CDBG funds. I think we've been getting funds for that for 16 or 17 years, if I'm not mistaken. And it's a 50-50 match. But the next phase will be in 2017 sometime. And the plan is with that is to do sort of a plaza area to be associated with the pavilion. So this would be some additional concrete on the south side of the pavilion, tie in with the pavilion, the restroom, some sidewalk around it, perimeter sidewalk along Hensley, along Cherokee, along First, and along Osage. And so you'll have sidewalk, you'll have concrete, and hopefully if we have enough funds, we'll do some lighting, some landscaping, things of that nature to go along with it, just to kind of make a nice plaza area to go along with the pavilion.
Well, that's wonderful. It seems to be somewhat of a catalyst with the Leadership Bartlesville building their sign there. I know there's other groups that are looking at doing some improvements to that area for fire pits and
right.
Different amenities for that. So it really seems to be somewhat of a catalyst to move forward with other improvements. And
I think people are excited about it.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. And, you know, with a fire pit there and the fire station so close, you know, that's not... They're only a phone call away, I guess.
Probably a good thing.
Yeah, that it is. That it is. Well, that's really going to be a wonderful addition to the city. So once the building gets started, what do you think time frame wise to get it all buttoned up, finished up?
Well, because we would like to have this, we wanted to have this completed by now. Now the contractor is actually wanted to be off the project by now, and we have been pushing on them that once the building does get on site, to make sure that we get it up quickly. So I think really you'll see things get wrapped up once the building gets started. You're looking at probably end of August, first part of September time frame to hopefully get the project completed, get the building complete, get the electrical done, and wrap things up. So the thing about it is though, we will have that second phase, which will be the precast restroom. So even though the pavilion will be up and functioning, there will be another phase starting shortly to install the restroom. There'll be some dirt work that city crews are going to do. So the site's still going to be a construction site for some time to come, but it's...
So you're going to say it's going to be up and it's going to look good, but we're
gonna
not going to be able
nice,
to use it.
But, and honestly, they could probably use portions of it, but it won't be fully functioning for some time still.
Okay. Well, good. Well, let's move a little bit south on the downtown area through there, as kind of the downtown's been our theme through here, is the
right.
Cherokee Waterline. I know we've been doing work for some time out there. Tell us what's going on and what's left to do out there.
Okay. Yeah, you probably have seen that. There's been construction on that, I believe. Well, I forget now how long it's been going. It's been going on for a while now. But we are upgrading the water line through there. We had an existing water line that was having some issues, and replacing that line and leaving it in place, actually installing a new line. And right now, we're really this week, the contractor should be wrapping up with all the things associated with the water line itself. So they've done all the testing. They're working on tying it in right now, tying in service lines, things of that nature. Really what's left after that then is to get the sidewalk reconstructed, because we did actually build it underneath sidewalk to avoid taking out large trees, try to save those trees for the homeowners and whatnot. So we really just like cleaning up at that point. Just talked to the contractor actually this morning, and assuming all goes well and weather pending and all that stuff, should have the project completed sometime middle to end of August time frame. Get the restoration, everything back in order, saw it in place, sidewalk in place, and all that. So kind of on the downhill slide for that project, just lack finishing it up.
Good. So all the sidewalk that's been tore out will be replaced?
It will be replaced. Good. We're not going to leave them without sidewalks. So.
Very good. Yeah, that's, you know, as we look to encourage pedestrian movements and walking movements, that's something very important. I know that we've done several grants around schools, mainly for sidewalks and such, but
right.
That's something that we do cherish and want to make sure that is kept up through there. A couple projects that are in the works. Tell us about Price Fields.
Price Fields, that's another big one we have. Should be an interesting project. About 6 years ago, we completed the first phase of Price Fields renovation. So that's the youth baseball and softball fields in town. They're off of Tuxedo Boulevard. They're at Tuxedo and Young. And we finished that phase, a new quadrant of baseball fields, four baseball fields in the northeast corner of the site. And the plan has always been then to do a second phase, which would include an additional quad of baseball fields in the northwest corner of the site, and then some asphalt parking, since we have temporary parking in place right now. So that project actually received bids on that last Monday, and we should hopefully get the project awarded here in the next couple weeks, hopefully. Work out some things as far as the bids and whatnot, but be a good project, trying to always improve those fields out there. They've been, I don't know when they were actually constructed, and you know, the dads and whatnot that put it together did a good job, but they've been worn out for some time now, and so we're trying to improve that facility. The existing quad that we built, like I said, with the first phase was 200 foot fences, and consisted of two baseball fields and two softball fields. The second phase actually will convert the two baseball fields into softball fields. So we have one quad of softball fields. This second phase that we're doing now will be four baseball fields, and there'll be 200 foot fences as well. So this will work anywhere from t-ball up to the first year kid pitch, which is 10 and under. Will be sufficient for that, and so it should be a good project. Hope to get construction going here sometime in August, get construction started so we can get all the contracts and everything in. We tried to time this to match up with when the baseball season ended, and hopefully get it back up in service before baseball starts next spring.
Well, good. That's going to be a wonderful improvement out there for that complex, and it's been long overdue out there. Another project, I think we received bids here last week, was on 14th Street. Tell us what's planned for that.
Yeah, we do have a project planned for 14th Street between Cherokee and Armstrong. There is a concrete portion of the project by Armstrong that you've probably noticed if you drive through that section that the concrete's in bad shape. We are going to replace concrete panels through there, and then the rest of it will be an asphalt overlay. We'll do some milling, mill the entire length from Cherokee to the concrete there at Armstrong. And then we will do some full depth repair in some places. It won't be just be a simple mill and overlay. There's actually some places where it looks like the base has failed. The rock underneath, or the soil underneath, if there was ever rock. Anyway, we'll have to replace that, and then we'll go and overlay the entire project. So that project, we did receive bids last Monday. Hope to get the bid awarded on this coming Monday, August 1st, and then work through the contracts, and we should hopefully see construction starting sometime in August, middle of August, end of August time frame. So,
well, good. Well, what other road projects that do you have in the works for planning?
Well, we've got a whole bunch of road projects that are kind of getting stacked up. I think I've probably said this on the radio before, and people are probably tired of hearing it, but in the engineering department, we're a little bit understaffed right now, just like other departments within the city. But we're working on that. And but we do have a number of projects that have been approved and that we're working through. We've got the Sirocco, Osage, Rogers, and Spruce rehabs. And that's going to be one project that we'll probably bid all together. It's going to be asphalt projects, whatnot. We are working on design currently, but actually got to looking at it, and with timing and everything, two of those projects run right by schools. So I think we're going to take a break on the citizens of Bartlesville, and we'll probably actually go to construction on those next year at this time frame, instead of actually having construction start during school year. So we'll wait till school's out to start construction on those next year. But we do have another project. It's a Skyline and Moonlight rehab. It's a concrete street that you may recall when we did the roundabout and things of that a few years ago. This was a detour route for traffic, and there's some wear and tear on it, so we are going to do a concrete panel replacement on that, and we're working on plans on that right now. We're about 90% complete on plans, got a few things to work out, and then we'll get that bid, and probably see construction sometime this fall starting on that project. We were approved for this fiscal year to do some additional rehabilitation projects on streets. We have a preventative maintenance program where streets that are right in that period where they're not in too bad a condition to do a full reconstruction, but they're still manageable, but do concrete panel replacements, asphalt overlays, things of that nature. So we got Nebraska between Highway 75 and Meadowlark will be a concrete panel project that we'll probably try to get designed and hopefully get going later this year as well. But then we have a couple of asphalt projects that one on Castle, going to do a mill and overlay on Castle. And then I think between Baylor and Adams. And then we've got Comanche between Adams and Frank Phillips. And then there's another one on Penn over by Jane Phillips Elementary School that'll kind of round out the project that we've got planned for next spring. that asphalt overlay as well. So we'll start design on those projects, probably on the asphalt projects, see them next year. Concrete projects, hopefully get them started this fall. And then we've got some larger projects. We've got Price Road Rehab that you've probably heard us talking about in the past. As a 2012 bond project. We're working on getting design completed on that now. Hopefully construction sometime this fall. And then I believe another project that, there again, wanted to have it under construction this year. It's an asphalt project on Tuxedo from right there in Madison to, I guess, just east of the river, the Caney River. Be a mill and overlay project on Tuxedo. At this point, we're kind of getting to that point where if we don't get it designed quickly, get it done, you're getting to the winter months when it's not good to lay asphalt. So that one may be delayed until next year as well, but we are in the process of getting that design as well. And I believe that's most of our projects that we've got going for road projects.
Well, we've got streets all over town there that's going to be impacted in some form or fashion as far as improvement there. So it's unfortunately, progress does take time, and unfortunately, it's not real convenient.
It's not convenient.
When it's occurring through there. So, well, good. If you have any questions regarding street projects or any of the projects we had talked about, Micah, what's a good number for them to call?
Be 918-338-4251 or 4256.
Very good. Very good. Well, Charlie, we're going to talk a little bit about water here in our last few minutes.
Okay. I'll encourage you to do that a little bit. Water is always a good thing. Are we talking drinking water or wastewater?
Well, we're talking drinking water.
Okay.
But, you know, we might talk a little bit about wastewater as well. It somewhat enters in that conversation. But as you know, we've had a very hot week last week and a very hot weekend, really, this past weekend.
Yes.
We just want to encourage everybody as we get in these hot, dry months of weather to pay attention to their outside watering. I know that this is the time of year where people try to save landscaping or encourage their landscaping to keep nice and green and well established.
As Larry Glass would say on Saturday morning, be judicious, or maybe as the city manager would say, be judicious on your watering. An inch of rainfall a week will preserve what you have.
Yes, very well. And the time of day that you water. If you're watering in the middle of the day, you're really just throwing that away, because most of it gets evaporated, just not has the ability to soak in and to have much of a benefit. So
first thing in the morning, earlier better.
The earlier the better, absolutely. But right now we're making about 11 to 12 million gallons a day, which is about our peak that we normally see this time of year for us. So we do have some rain potentially in the forecast. There's rain north of us.
Mm-hmm.
We're not sure if that's going to make it down to us today or this morning or not, but we'll just have to wait and see. But just as always with water, since that is a precious resource, to be judicious with it and conserve it, really the biggest users are the landscaping this time of year for the outside watering. So just to be aware of what you're doing and just to be prudent with that usage through there. But water-wise, we're really in good shape from a supply standpoint. Gila is our main water supply, which is just under the conservation pool, so it's about 95-96% full, or 98%, excuse me, full for the conservation pool.
We got more rain up in Kansas.
More rain in Kansas, which hopefully will feed into Gila here soon. But Hudson Lake is a city-owned lake, and we're just a couple feet below the conservation pool, or the normal pool for us there, which is typical for this time of year. So overall, we're about 96-97% as far as our water supply storage that we have currently full. So we're really in good shape, but a couple months of dry weather and hot and large water use can change that fairly quickly.
Yeah, absolutely. So just again, use the water you need, but don't use water you don't need.
That's absolutely true. So while we're on our water supply theme, we want to talk about, and it's something we've talked about in the past as far as water, what is our plan for the water supply for the next 50-100 years. I know there's been a lot of plans and a lot of studies that have been done to look at various water supply sources for us. The Copan Lake is one of them that's a viable source for us. But another one that really seems to be more feasible at this time from a cost and from a timing perspective is what we call water reuse. And that's when you take the treated effluent or discharge from the wastewater treatment plant and you pump it up into the Caney River or some medium to let it to mingle and to kind of blend with those water, and then you recapture it or reuse that. And so we do have a unique setup with our water system in that we do draw from the Caney River. We have a intake structure there in Johnstone Park, and we use roughly between 1 to 2 million gallons a day from that source for our potable water use. And the wastewater treatment plant sits about a quarter mile downstream of that intake point and discharges into the Caney River, the treated water that comes through that facility. And we're looking at taking that treated water from the wastewater plant, pumping it up roughly about 5-6 miles upstream and on the Caney River, discharging it into the Caney River, and then reusing that for our potable uses. And we average on a daily perspective about 6 million gallons on the wastewater treatment plant as far as how much we treat and discharge into the river.
Okay, well, we'd love to cover this more, but I'm out of time.
All right.
All right, that's City Matters on your Monday morning. For residential and commercial plumbing, call Mason's Plumbing, where serving you is their priority. This is KWON Bartlesville and 93.3.